One of the biggest things we're actually maybe in the top three or four that were asked here in Mindful Muslimah during the month of Ramadan is how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After all, we're kind of striving for that, right? How do you do it? What's the practical ways? Just some quick tips. We have you covered here in the podcast. In the next podcast, we're going to cover another one of those questions you have, which is how to have better khushu'ah in salah, how to have better focus. Since we're doing so much additional praying, we got you. But today, let's get started with a couple tips on how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, ladies? How are you doing? The couple first days of Ramadan, I know, they're a little bit hard for some people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy, and may He accept your fasting and all of your dua and your good deeds. Ameen, ameen, rabbil alameen. Please say ameen for yourself and all the brothers and sisters out there. And we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make these days most beneficial for us, inshallah, bismillah ta'ala. And I want to say that this podcast is going to be hitting home in terms of how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the ultimate goal, right? To reach this taqwa, through the tawakkul of Allah. And we want to make sure that we are working on things that actually will help us get there. So we're going to get you covered in this podcast. Only reminder I have is today is the last day to get inside of Thrive Ramadan. A lot of sisters felt like they were not ready. This happens sometimes every year, to join the full Ramadan program we have inside of the membership. And so just letting you know, today is the final day. We kind of tried to hold it open the first couple days of Ramadan, let everybody get their bearings. But to be honest, we just got to close it up. The 7 days free was from a long time ago, maybe a couple days back now, has been over. But this is the actual total access. So definitely get on in there if you intend to by today. Link is below or DM me on Instagram. All right. So how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's get straight into it. And for those of you who have been regular listeners coming into the podcast new in Ramadan, welcome, welcome. I hope you're enjoying, and I hope you're getting closer to the other sisters here at the podcast through all of the ways that we do that. Maybe it's in our mentorship, it's in our Thrive Muslimah, it's in our consultation calls, or in our Quran teacher has group sessions. We have so many different things. I want you to make sure that you're working on yourself and you're not alone. But today we're going to be talking about how you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that intimate connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can be deepened. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Mindful Muslimah, mom of five, big sister to the community, licensed educator of 20 plus years, excited to come back on topics that you care about. What we do at Mindful Muslimah is we help women go from surviving to thriving. A lot of us feel like we're just surviving day to day with our emotions, with our world problems, but we're here to teach you the skills to get above that into a place where you feel good about who you are and where you're on in life and your closeness and your relationship with your deen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like today, right? So tip number one that we're going to give you in doing this is obviously always renew your intention, right? Why are you doing this? Why do you want the closest to Allah? And that kind of comes by making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Opening up. Now, you guys have heard me say before, one of my favorite ways to make dua is in sujood, because the Prophet, peace be upon him, said the slave is closest to their Lord in sujood. So that means face down on the floor, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people say, do I have to do it in Arabic? No. Is it preferable? Of course. But if you say it in your first language, alhamdulillah, you just reaching out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an arm's length, He will come running. And so I want you to make sure, by any means necessary, you're just reaching out in dua. It doesn't have to be in sujood. I just said this is a way the Prophet, peace be upon him, said you're closest. So if we're trying to get close to Allah and we're making dua about being close, maybe using the suggestion of like how to be close is, you know, kind of goes with it. That's why I'm mentioning to you. So optimal ways here is what we're going for. But if that is not you, and in the last third of the night in the sujood, that is just very, very good opportunity for that. So I suggest you try that. And I know in Ramadan, more of us are praying the last third of the night. So inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, you will reach this connection from this alone. Some people from this alone will reach it. Some will not, and you'll just have to keep going, and that's okay. We have more tips. But what I want you to put in your mind is reaching out to Allah is first and foremost, all right? This doesn't happen by ourselves. This is a relationship. So we want to do that. Number two, some people feel like no matter what they do, they can't reach it. Now, let me tell you a secret, which is tip number two, about what could be stopping that. Sinning. Sinning definitely stops that. It makes you numb in your heart, and it makes you to not connect with the less dependent with diet in ways that you could. Be really careful about the filters that are coming into your body. I'm talking about your eyes, your ears, and things that are coming out of you, like your tongue. So I want you to make sure that those things are all purified. I always used to pray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, purify my tongue, purify my ears, purify my eyes. These are gifts from you, and let me to use them in servitude to you, not in disobedience. So that might mean, you know, a couple of days of Ramadan, you tried not to like spend so much time on TikTok, but you're kind of spending a lot of time there. Maybe filling our time, our ears, our eyes with things, maybe it could be Netflix, could be whatever it is. Could be YouTube, vlogs, you know, binge watching because you're fasting and you don't want to get up and do anything. Like, let's be real. These things can definitely help us, hurt us, excuse me, if we're not aware and then we're trying to like stop them. So trying to get these things, the first thing the Prophet suggested was to clear the bad things out. Now, in going hand in hand with that is our heart. You know, our heart could be sick. We have sick heart, the dead heart, and the healthy heart, qalb salim. The only way to go to Jannah is with qalb salim. And that's what we're all trying to do in Ramadan, purifying our heart. So that leads me into tip number three, which is every time you've done a sin, like one of the sins that I've said, it puts a black spot on your heart. Now, we want to wash those off. It's like, how do you wash your heart, right? Quran. Quran, alhamdulillah. Reading Quran, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Reading Quran, and each letter, each ayah, we're washing our heart. So beautiful. I want you to imagine, like, literally, like a sponge scrubbing the dishes, how you can see them shiny, sparkly. The Quran, as we're reciting it, is washing our heart. So it's a good way for that. Also, if you felt like you've done some bad deeds, to reverse them by doing good deeds and making that intention to replace for the bad you've done. Making tawbah, obviously, that whole process. But do you get me where I'm going with this? Stopping the bad things, trying to wash your heart and put yourself back continuously. If you can't stop these addictive things, guys, understand phones are addictive. They're addictive for everyone. So if you're struggling with that, don't beat yourself up, but don't give up either. You could do it, but just put in your mind, this could be an addiction and I'm going to get through it. And the way to break it is by being aware of it, admitting it, and working on it. And that's what we're doing. Right? And ask Allah to make it easy. Ask Allah to make it easy. And the last tip I'm going to give you today, I'm going to do a ton more of these tips. Like I said, inside of Thrive Muslim, I do a lot of things. I have a lot of workshops. And so to be honest, guys, I give a lot of this stuff all inside of there, but I want to make sure the women who come here week after week, they still get these things. But these are regular things we share in our halakas, in our groups and stuff inside of our community. So just know I'm giving you the best of the best, but there are other tips out there. And the last one I'll tell you is be careful of the circle that you have, because this is a tough one, right? Because sometimes our circles are family. I have some women that say the majority of my people I spend time with are in my house. That's hard if they're not the right people encouraging you. So I don't want you to feel down about that. And here's the thing I want to tell people too. A lot of people decide in Ramadan, this is when they're going to change, even outside of Ramadan. But let's use Ramadan for the example. And then their family is not so supportive. I've had this happen with a lot of women that I've, mentored. And they say, oh, you know, my mom said, what are you trying to be like? Why are you trying to do this, this and that? People criticize you. Who do you think you are? Are you trying to be religious? Really? You, the one who dates, the one who does this haram and that haram. And they try to make you feel like, why are you even doing that? Allah's not even going to accept that. Or maybe in yourself, you feel like, why am I even doing this? I did so much bad. Allah will never accept it. But we know that's not true, right? O son of Adam, even if your sins were piled to the sky, right? You know, the thing is, if we knew how much mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had for us, we wouldn't even doubt it. Allah is so merciful. He loves you so much and he wants you to be good, but he needs you to trust that, making tawbah, asking for forgiveness and trying again and putting yourself in a better situation around better people. It's important. There's that kind of metaphor we're giving about how, you know, like if you sit next to a person who does perfume and they're spraying perfume all the time, you're gonna leave the store smelling like perfume of some sort, right? If somebody was like casting iron, there'd be like some type of like maybe some burns on your clothes or some smoke in your clothes. You ever go to a barbecue? Oh my goodness, a barbecue is a perfect example. Summer barbecue, I love it. I love to barbecue. And I told my husband the other day, I said, you know what's funny? Ramadan is coming from my country, at least in the US, away from the summer. And you know what's really crazy? The summer was one of the hardest times to fast over here because the days are the longest, they're the hottest, and you know, that's the most extreme situation. But, and by the way, there are some countries that have way longer hours than we do, and may Allah make it easy for all our brothers and sisters. But what's crazy is, as tough as that is, the food is the best in the summer in Ramadan. Why? Let me tell you, and you might get me right here when I say this. If you go to get watermelon, right? Batikh, however you want to say it. You want to get it, whatever language, dialect you're using. When you go to get the watermelon, the peaches, the cherries, they are so, oh my gosh, I forgot people are fasting listening. All right, they're good. I'm not going to say how good they are. They're good in the summer because it's like the ripest time of the year. But now as we're moving into the spring, my husband and I notice usually this time of year we're starting to get the fruits and things, you know, like we're like, gosh, they don't taste as good in the summer. So the irony is, even though it's tougher in those months, the reward is sweeter. It is sweeter on many levels, actually, in the dunya and the akhirah, because of the struggle that you did. And you know, so sometimes we wish for ease, but it's not always the best. So keep in mind that, you know, whatever you're doing, Allah is going to make it easy. You just have to keep renewing those intentions, being around the right people, and making sure that you are not compromising what you're trying to do by getting caught up in everything else. Closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it really comes with the grit. When you actually say, you know what, this is it, and you just keep striving, and even if you fall, you get up. What do they say? The person who's successful is the person who failed 8 times but got up the 9th time. Like, there's so many versions of that one. It's really true. But I want you to imagine if you fell 8 times and then all you need to is get up 1 more, and that 9th one would have been when you finally changed. We don't want to put limits on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on ourselves. And we don't want to keep thinking that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not possible for us because we're not worthy. You are. You're Allah's creation. He wants you to be close to Him. Let's start today with da. Start with tawbah. Anything, mistakes you made continuously. The Prophet, peace be upon him, made so much tawbah, so much he's asking for forgiveness and so much everything. And the people would say, even you, the Prophet, like, why do you have to do it so much? He's doing it like 70 times plus a day. The person who we would never imagine could do any wrong. And then he would say, you know, like, Allah is worth it. Allah is worth it. Is he not worth it? And so, it's not hard, guys. It's just a couple words. It's just a beautiful intention of our heart. You can do it, all right? So just a couple little light tips for you today. Next week in the podcast, we're going to talk about how to have that khushu'. But I want you to put in your mind, it's not that it's hard to do. It's just that you overcoming your nafs, you're overcoming your desire to do otherwise. But if you actually do the steps to do it, they're pretty simple. What's not as easy is the execution and the overriding yourself if you've been used to not doing it for so long. But that's what we're doing here, right? We're building muscle. This is like the boot camp Ramadan, right? May Allah make it easy for you. Don't forget, if you want to get in Thrive, today's the last day before registration completely closes. I will see you in the next one for how to have more khushu' in Salah. Definitely try to take at least 1 or 2 of these tips. And if they work for you, definitely hit me up in a DM and Instagram and let me know. And do share the podcast with as many women as you think could benefit. Let me just tell you something. I have had women share the podcast with other women in Ramadan, and then those women become like lifelong listeners and they start to implement those things. Let me just say this. Simple deed. You want to talk about easy deeds in Ramadan? Sharing a good piece of information, like, for example, a podcast episode that you felt really hit home for you with another sister. Let's pretend she gets hooked on the podcast. She listens to 10 episodes. She implements 10 good deeds. Those are all on your scale. You get me? Easy way, because for every good somebody does, it goes on their scale and yours by Allah. And so, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, let's not underestimate any small deed and take full advantage of them all. Right. See you in the next podcast. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.